Sunday, January 19th, 2020, Bracha Daf Tetzayin. Right, we're going to start Tet Vav Amud Beit. Tet Vav Amud Beit, we're going to start Dikdek Velo Dikdek Potiyaha. About six lines from the bottom of the page. Tani Rava Vajja Kamei Derava. Have it about six lines from the bottom at the two dots. Tani Rav Avadja. Rav Avadja is, I don't know how often he appears in Shas, not a lot. Kamei de Rava. Rava appears a lot. So Rav Avadja taught in front of Rava. Belimadatim, you should teach it. That's what we say every day in the Shema. She limudcha tam. Your teaching shall be tam. What does your teaching shall be tam mean? It should be pure. What does that mean, should be pure? So I would say it should be, your learning should be honest, your learning should be, you know, not like straight. It gives a very strange interpretation. She'a revach bein hadvakim. You should say every word like properly, so you take a breath. You don't mumble the words, one running words. In between, ani rava batre. So rava answered him. Oh, great idea. Now I'll give you examples. Could go on, au. You notice in all these examples, the last letter of the first word and the first letter of the second word are the same. So we tend to slur the letters. It's like we say it one lamed. Al levavchem. Bechol levavcha. Bechol nafshechem. Esev besadcha. Ve'ibadetem vavadetem mehira. Hakanach betil. Etchem me'eretz. So you have to pause between all those words because you can't, otherwise you slur them all together. Now, we learned already yesterday that b'di'evet, if you didn't say the words properly, it's okay. It's a very strange halacha. Even if you mispronounce the words, you're yotzei, because shema is mainly about what's in your heart. Since the main thing is the kavana you have, the saying of the words is almost of secondary importance. Amar Chaim Rabbi Chanina. However, it's good if you do it. Kol HaKorei Kriyat Shema Umedakdek Bo Tiyoteha. A person who reads Shema and is very careful to properly pronounce the letters. Mitzananim Lo Gehenim. It's a very funny expression. We cool off Gehenim for him. We cool off Gehenim. Okay, whoa. Even the whole thing is strange. What even cool? Why should he be anywhere near Gehenim? Shenemar v'feirash sadai melachim ba tishaleg b'tzalmon. They quote a pasuk where God lifrosh, like to spread up apart. Ufros aleinu sukkat shemecha. God spreads the kings apart, I guess, so they don't have enough power. So the Gemara makes a play on words. Al tikra b'paresh, that he spreads, ela b'peirush. In other words, you explain the words, l'faresh, you explain it properly. Al tikra b'tzalmon, which is a name of a place, so snow and salmon, t'shaleg b'tzalmon, ela b'tzalmavet. So if you say b'peirush, you'll have tzel. Tzel means shade. I think it's a real play on words. Tzel is tzel mavet. The death will be cool, not hot. Okay, very nice. Amar Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina. Lama nismechu ohalim l'nechalim. This is, I guess, talking in by Bilam, right? Balak and Bilam. So the Torah uses the expressions ohel, a tent, and a nachal, a stream. You don't want to build a tent on the stream. It'll get, you know, it'll blow away. So ne'alim le'nechalim d'chtiv, ki nechalim nitayu ki ganot alein ahar. So the Gemara says, lomar lecha, ma nechalim ne'alim et hadam mituma l'tahara, the same way a river brings a person from tuma v'tahara. If a person is impure, what does impure mean? Impure means contact with, you know, death. Just think of, if a person comes in contact with death, they're tameh, and then they're forms of death, like a woman who menstruates is a form of death. She doesn't have the potential life of is lost. So that's not exactly the same form of tuma, but a dead animal, all kinds of forms of tuma. So obviously, if tuma is death, tara has to be water, because water is life. So if a person goes to a nachal, you go to a river, what we call today, I guess, a mikvah, you know, but you can really go to be tahor. Ah, ohalim, the tents also make you, transform you. Mikav chova Lekavskut. What does the tent mean? The Ohel of Torah, the tents of Torah. Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, which is also by Bilam. So the tents of Torah transfer you from what you would have been guilty, but now you get reward for spending your time in the Ohel of Torah. Like Yaakov was in Ishtam. By the way, we have Tam before, like Tam Yaakov Ishtam, and Ohel, like the going together Yaakov. And okay. So we saw that if you read the Shema backwards, which Rashi says with out of order.
Has nothing to do with the topic. It's just
no, so bracha is just full. It's who says what. First of all, no. Olam adakte poti. It's Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina. I'm sure. I don't even. Yeah, but I always said we haven't had time to develop them. I always claim that the Gemara often will quote three or four opinions by the same person, not like what Abai says. When it's less common people, so they'll group their sayings together. But I always say it's not just that. There's always a deeper connection. We just don't have time to develop them, and I don't have time to prepare them all. Sometimes I do, and sometimes I can pick up on them right away. What's the connection between the two statements that was there? It's not stum. Because it's the same person. I don't believe it. I always believe there is a connection. The Gemara was unbelievably precisely edited. A tremendous precision in the editing of the Gemara. Okay. Hakorei l'mafrei lo yatsa. Ravami v'ravasi have kakatrin le ganva l'ravalas. This is like one of these like beautiful stories that we don't appreciate. They were making a wedding chuppah. They were tying up the strings to make a wedding. Everybody was all excited. L'ravalas. Nope. How many people have to make a wedding chuppah? Everybody came to volunteer. So he wasn't working so much. So the Rabbi Amar Lahu Adahachi, so Rabbi Ami said, you know what? You don't need me. What do I go chuppah? We're in the shul. The shul's having a shir. They're having a chuppah. I'm going to go to the shir. You can build the chuppah. Okay? And I'll tell you what they learned in the Beis Medrash. Azel Ashkeche Letana. So he went to the base medrash. So apparently the wedding was in the shul. Letana Diktani Kamei de Rav Yochanan, and they were learning. So they walked into the back of the shir. Karavita'a Veino Yodea Lehechanta. You're reading Shema and you're half asleep. I say the beauty of the Gemara is so human. You're half asleep. And the problem is, a lot of the words, they repeat themselves. So, like it's the same in the first second paragraph. You don't even know if you're in the first paragraph, the second paragraph. You don't know where you are. You're half asleep. So, so if you made a mistake, you're in the middle of a bracha in Shmonet, so you don't know. So you go back to the beginning of the bracha, the beginning of the parak. Leperek, yachzor leperek rishon. You don't know what parak it is. So you go back to the first one. You always have to be more strict. I think that means within words, within a pasuk. Here it says, uchtaftam, uchtaftam. You don't know if they said uchtaftam in the first paragraph or shmar, the second. You got to go back to the first paragraph. He's pretty sad. He doesn't know if he said by ya im shema. So amar le Rav Yochanan. So that's what they learned. So Rav Yochanan had a little bit of a tweak. Lo shana wele shelo patach leman yirbu yimechem. That's only if he didn't start saying Leman Yedu Dorotechem. Let's say he said Leman Yedu Dorotechem, and then he does remember the Chtaftam that I said, was that the first or the second paragraph? He says, no, you don't have to worry. Because why did he say Leman Yimechem? Because that's from the second paragraph. He's not thinking, but it just comes out of his mouth. You know, Chtaftam is done in the second paragraph. You just naturally say Leman Yedu. So you know he's in the second paragraph. That's just the way of speaking, so you know he didn't skip. So he went back to the wedding and he told Ravami or Ravasi, whatever, he told him what he learned, that this idea that if you're, I guess the rabbis also fell asleep in the middle of davening, you fall asleep and you don't know, you don't have to go back if you said leman you do. So he says to him, Ilu lo banu el lishmo davar zeh dayenu. If that was the only reason I came today, I just learned that one thing, Diane. That would be enough. Who cares? It took me 8 hours to build this. I learned one thing, and you get that a lot. That's a very common thing. And it's true in life. Generally, whenever you go to a shir or go to something, there's one thing. If you count off with one thing you didn't know, you're doing well. You can't. So if I learned that one thing, that'd be great. Okay. Now we're going to get to the difference between Shema and Shmoneh Esrei. Shema is very You don't need much kavana at all. You can be walking in the street and doing somersaults, b'lech lecha b'derech, can do whatever you want and say Shema however you want. You don't need too much kavana. Maybe the first sentence you need kavana. You don't have to really think too much. It's funny, even though kavana is the most important part, kavana leiv, you can say it any way you want. Tefillah is very different. And now we're going to get into work ethics, employer-employee. These are cool halachas about how an employee has to work on the job. Ha'umnin, a worker, korim b'rosh ilan. So remember, in the time of the Talmud, they went to work. We learned this already way back a couple of weeks ago, almost at Amud HaShachar. People went to work at the crack of dawn. Problem is, so they couldn't daven before they got to work. They had to daven on the job. It was too early to daven. So we're assuming a Jewish society. Korim b'rosh, so they're working. They're picking apples. And they're up on the tree. They're climbing the tree. So umnin korim b'rosh ilan. So they read the Shema on top of the tree. To come down from the tree would take 15 minutes, a waste of time. You don't have to waste the worker's time. It's a little harder to say Shema, so it's a little harder. So what? So they won't say with such great kavana. We just learned half of them are asleep anyway. So they're probably not asleep on the top of the tree. The kavana is fine. U'b'rosh ha'nidvach, that's on top of a stone, whatever, a ledge. He's a construction worker. He doesn't come back while he's on the crane. He says Shema. Masha'enem rashim lasokim bitfila. But you can't do that for Shmon Esrei. Shmon Esrei, you need real kavana. You have to stand still. You're never allowed to interrupt. We learned in Shema you can talk to people if they greet you. Shmon Esrei has got to be extreme kavana, and you can't do that on the top of a tree. You have to come back. And the assumption is that the employer knows that. He builds it into the work schedule. But the guy's going to take off 5 minutes to them. I remember Rav Schachter, you know, telling us that somebody complained, you know, in yeshivas, very often still, they daven a hecha kedusha. That's what we do every day at chat, for example, at mincha. If you're in a hurry, you daven, you know, you say till kedusha, a hecha kedusha. That was the minhag in yeshivas. They still do it today in Lakewood. They don't do it in YU. YU is not a real yeshiva, as we all know. But so they do it in the Lakewood Kollel here. Of course, they take as long to go without the chazarat hashatz because they want to learn so much. So they're davening, you know, they don't waste their time, and there are nobody's in Amar. Whatever the reason is. So somebody complained to Rav Schachter from the OU, says, you know, the OU, it isn't right. They do a Hecha Kedusha. It's obviously it's assumed to be more correct to repeat the whole Shmon Esrei. So the OU, it's an Orthodox institution. What are they doing, Shmon Esrei, Rav Schachter? What are they talking about? They're obligated to do a Hecha Kedusha. When they daven the OU? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's during, the OUs give workers off 5 minutes to daven. You can't make a long Shmon Esrei. What are you, crazy? They're obligated to a Hecha Kedusha. You have to put things in percent. Can't take time off to work. Take the minimum amount of time off to work that you need. Okay. Chatan patur mikriyat shma. We've discussed this already a couple times. On the night of your wedding, you're exempt from saying kriyat shma malayla rishona vad motzei shabbanim lo asa masa. Very interesting. Remember, in the time of the Gemara, they got married on what night? Wednesday nights. Why did they get married on Wednesday nights? Because the court would sit on Thursday morning, and in case if Weiss wasn't a virgin and he thinks she had an affair, well, everything's in the Gemara, real life. So, because they were engaged for a long time, they were legally engaged, so he could go to the debating and either annul the marriage or whatever, that's what they say. So, Wednesday night, so he gets married Wednesday night. Let's say if he didn't consummate the marriage Wednesday night or Thursday night or Friday night, later on in Jewish history, the minhag was to get married on Friday afternoons, then he still doesn't have to say Shema. So for 3 days, he doesn't say Shema. He's too preoccupied on his wedding. Umasev Rabban Gamliel. Now the story says Rabban Gamliel. So we learned in the first Mishnah about Rabban Gamliel's, like, you know, kids who were out partying. Now we're going to learn about his wife. So Rabban Gamliel got married. Bekara Laila Harishana, and he read the Shema on the first night. On his wedding night, he was saying Shema. Amrulo Talmidav, Limarata Anu Rabbeinu. Didn't you teach us Shehachatam Patur Mikriyat Shema? That a chatan is in patur, because it would be arrogance for him to think that he can focus on Kriyat Shema the night of his wedding. That's so it's inappropriate to say it. Amar lehem, eini shomei alechem levatel heimenu machut Shema of Pilu Shachar. It's like, what can I do? I'm not going to listen to you or to himself. I can't listen. I refuse to not for 1 minute not to accept the yoke of heaven? How can I go a day and not say Shema? Don't give me the halacha. I know it's like they asked the Rugger Trevor. They have the famous thing. I think it was censored out of the later books because, you know, you can interpret it more than one way. So the Rugger Trevor, when he was sitting Shiva, he used to learn Torah. So I said, you're not allowed to learn Torah when you sit Shiva. He says he doesn't care. His whole life is to learn Torah. So he'll violate this halacha. He's willing to suffer the punishment for learning Torah while he's sitting Shiva. So either that story shows greatness or shows what I mean. Maybe he's not a religious Jew. He doesn't follow the halacha. The halacha is you have to give up. So that got censored out of some of the books. But that's a well-known story. The Rugger Trevor would learn Torah while he sat Shiva. So not exactly the same. But the Rugger, I can't help it. I have to say Shema even when I get married. He didn't ask his wife. I don't know if it went to Minyan, whatever. Okay. Ketana Rabbanan. Ha'umnin korim b'rosh ilan. The workers can read on the top of the tree. U'b'rosh ha'nitvach, on the top of the ledge. U'mitpalalim b'rosh ha'zayit, u'b'rosh ha'tena. Ah, now we're a little lenient. If they're on an olive tree or a fig tree. Now, I don't know how they grow, but apparently the leaves are thicker, the trees are stronger. So you can stand up and not be afraid you're going to fall. So there he can even say Shemona Esrei on the trees. But if he's on an apple tree, Yordim Lamato Mipalim, he's got to climb down the tree and that one. Ubalabayi, that's for the workers. No, the Balam, the owner, he has no excuse. It's going to take the owner 10 minutes. It's always the opposite. It's the worker wants the daven for a long time and the owner wants the daven quickly. So the halacha is the exact opposite. The worker has to daven very quickly and the owner has to take his time to daven. He doesn't have an excuse. I'm wasting the owner's time. It's his time. So the balabai, it's not right to say Shema on the top of the tree or to daven. Ubalabai, no matter what tree, no matter what, benkach ubenkach, yored lamato mitpalel, lefi shein dato miyushevet alav, you can't think properly if you're on a tree davening. So he has no excuse. The workers have an excuse. He doesn't.
Not quite accurate.
I'm sorry?
You can't think properly when you're on top of the tree.
So right.
You should plan the workers as well.
No, but that's halacha. It's more important. That's the beautiful halacha. The halacha is saying, even though you don't daven so properly, it's worse to steal, not to put in a day's work. Putting in an honest day's work is more important than saying Shema with extra kavanah. This is a very important idea. We always do things backwards. You know, we always have to look what's more important, what's less important. If you're going to come late to work, you can't daven with the minion. You got to leave minion early. What can you do?
If the workers can have the right.
Today it might not apply. Listen, we have a different working environment today. I'm sorry.
Say the owner can't have the concentrate properly.
Neither can the workers concentrate properly.
Say they can if they're on top of an olive.
No, not well enough. They can concentrate. In other words, there's sort of zero concentration where it's impossible to do anything, and then there's sort of this middle, and then there's the way it should be right. Whether these halachas still apply today is a whole different story. We're not discussing that here because. Today, nobody, very few people, if you work in a factory, they would apply 100%. But if you're a professional and you go to the office and you're a lawyer, accountant, investment, generally nobody punches a clock. So you show up 8:30, some people show up late, they stay late. As long as you get your work done, nobody really cares. So I don't know that this would apply, but that's another discussion. Rami le Rav Mary braid the Rav Bat Shmuel le Rav. So we won't. The whole complicated explanation in Russian, not complicated, but Shmuel's daughters were married a non-Jew, so they didn't want to refer to her. So this is the grandson of Shmuel. Okay, Larava. Tanan, ha'umnin korim b'rosha ilana b'rosha nidbach, ama lo bai kavana. It means you don't really have to have kavana when they daven. V'rimin hu, I'll ask you a question, not korei teshmash tavich shei kavein et libo, but you do need kavana. This is your question. Shenemar, Shema Yisrael. Ulahalan hu omer haskeit, u'shema Yisrael, we say, yes, listen up, pay attention. Malahalan behaskeit, with intensity, whatever, paying attention, afkan behaskeit, ishtik. He didn't know what to say. I don't know. How can I allow you to daven on the top of the tree? You're right. Amarle mide shamali baha. Did you hear anything about this? Amarle hachi amar rav sheshet. Behusha betelim imilachtam bekorin. So the reason they can daven is because otherwise they won't be doing work. You're right. The davening's not so good, but we can't allow them to not put in an honest day work. Batanya. Beit Hillel says, Hold on. So here we're saying sometimes they do have to mevatel the work, and now we're saying Beit Hillel says no, they have to do say Shema while they're working. So the Gemara says lo kasha, have a perek rishon, have a perek sheni. Depends. The first paragraph of Shema Yitaka have to say with proper kavana. The second paragraph of Shema you can say with less kavana. So you can't take off any time from work. In other words, the question isn't here where you have to climb down from the tree. The question is, do you pick the apples while you're saying Shema? You drive the tractor. While you're saying Shema, they have to put the tractor into park, even though you can't get out of the tractor to daven. You can daven in the tractor. But maybe should I daven with the tractor moving, and I'm still doing work, and I'm sort of saying Shema, you know, doing like multitasking or not? So that's the question. So the Gemara says, yes, for the first paragraph, you shouldn't multitask. You should stay Shema. You should put it for a break without getting out. And the second paragraph, no, you continue working. You say Vayam Shemoa as you are working. Tana Rabbanan, Napoleon Shein as you Melachai Tzol Balabait, Korin Kriyat Shema. The workers who are doing work, they say Shema, Mevarchim Lefanev, Alacharan, they make the Yotzer Or, and they make the Brachot Kriyat Shema. Vochim Bitam, then they ate. Then they went to eat breakfast. And remember, in Jewish law, the worker, the employer provides food for the employee. That's the assumption. The employee works all day. The employer pays for his meals. And we have that idea today. The worker can make a bracha and he can bench. It's interesting. It seems like they ate before they daven because they're up on the tree. Supposedly they said Shema. They don't come down, so they eat, and then an hour later, when they come down, they'll actually daven. That's the way it sounds like. But they can't be the chazan. In other words, they can't daven with a minion. They can't go around. They repeat the Shemona Esrei, get out of here, get to work. Don't go to the lake minion. You got to go to the chick chuck minion. You can't go to any minion at all. If they're a Kohen, they can't duchen. That takes extra time. They don't have to duchen. So somebody else will bless the people. He doesn't have to bless the people. It's an amazing halachas, you know. Vahatanya me'ein yotchet. The Gemara says, hold on a second. They can't even say Shmon Esrei. We just havinenu. Remember we said the middle paragraph that according to Rabbi Yehoshua, a person never shouldn't say Shmon Esrei. It's too hard to say Shmon Esrei. Just say one paragraph. All 13 middle brachot in one paragraph. Amazing if we would adopt that. Because why should he say the whole Shmon Esrei? Let him say a shortened version. Amar Rav Sheshet lo kasha. So whether it should say the shortened version or not, that's a general debate. Not about work. That's the general debate. However, Rav Gamliel, however, Rav Yeshua. Rav Gamliel says the person should say a regular Shmon Esrei like we do. And Rav Yeshua says, no, most people should not. They should just say Havinenu every day. E Rabbi Yeshua, so the Gemara says, my ear or Yapolim, right? If it's Rabbi Yeshua, this has nothing to do with workers. Everybody should say a short form of Shmon Esrei. Afilu kol adam nami, ala aidi v'aidi Rabban Gamliel. No, so we're talking about Rabban Gamliel. You should say the Shmon Esrei, but not if you're a worker. Below kasha, kambo sim b'scharan, kansho sim b'sudan. If you get paid to work, you're not allowed to say the Shmon Esrei. Amazing. You're not allowed to take the 3 minutes and say Shmon Esrei. You can say a very shortened version. You say the Shmon Esrei a third of the length of a regular Shmon Esrei. But if you don't get paid, the only money you're getting is your meal, a meal plan, but there's no money, then okay, we can't, then we'll allow you to daven the extra time. You're not, the employer's not treating you so well, so then you can daven extra. But Tanya Hapolim, same idea. Shayu osim melachtam etzel balabai, korin kriyat shema. If they're working, they say shema, mipalalim. Here they daven first. Ve'ochlim pitan, ve'ein mevarchim lefaneha. They don't make the bracha. Amazing. Amazing. They don't say shakol hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Why? It's only rabbinic. Why? What right do they have to waste time to say a bracha at work? Can't say hamotzi lechem min haaretz. That's only rabbinic. More important to work. Working is midoraita. A bracha is midorabanan. I don't make up this stuff. That's what it says. Avam mevarchim lacharev. Birchan hamazon, even though it's longer, he can bench because that's already min haTorah. But he can't do the whole benching. He doesn't have to do the whole benching. What did he do? Not that he stops at Yechesreinu. He does even less. He didn't say Harachamans, that's for sure. Okay, it's a bracha rishonah. Hazanat HaKol, he says the first bracha. That's assumed that the Moshe Rabbeinu made it. That's the real McCoy. Shnia, the second bracha, Nodelecha, Potech Mibrachat Haaretz, V'kolom Bnei Yerushalayim. He says Nodelecha and Rachem into one bracha. He combines them. I don't know what he misses out exactly. V'birchat Haaretz. V'medvarim Marim Bosim B'skaram. This is if they get paid to work. Avalosim B'sutam, where they don't get any actual money. They just work for somebody. Like you work for your rent, you know, they don't give you money, but they give you your room and board. So then you can take more time. Or if the owner, the boss comes to sit with you, so then he doesn't care. If the boss takes time to sit lunch with you and he's schmoozing for an hour, that means that's the sign. You don't have to work then. Interesting halakha. Okay. Chatan patur mikriyat shema. A groom is patur from kriyat shema. Tanu rabbanan b'shivtecha b'vitecha. So this is the review of what we did about 5 days ago. B'shivtecha b'vitecha. You say Shema when you're in your house, you're sitting in your house. You're doing your personal thing. Prat lo seik b'mitzvah. But if you're involved in a mitzvah, you don't have to say Shema. Uvelech lecha b'derech. And when you're going on your path, but if you're going on the path of a mitzvah, you don't have to say Shema. Prat lechatan. So that comes as, a chatan means even when he's not in the act of getting married, just he's in the sort of, he's thinking about getting married. It's the day of his wedding. Not really mitzvah at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's not doing anything. Nonetheless, he doesn't have to worry about Shema. Mikan amru hakone said haptula patur. If a person is marrying a virgin, he's exempt from saying Shema. Bet almana. But if he's marrying a widow, he has to say Shema. There's less of an excitement, less of a nervousness about getting married. My mashma, how do we learn this? Amar papa ki derech, because of the word derech. Ma derech reshut. Derech means the way I'm going. If I'm going to watch a football game, I have to say Shema. But if I'm going to do a mitzvah, I'm going to the wedding, I don't have to say Shema. Av hachanami reshut. Here too, it's reshut. Milo askinan. So the word says, maybe, who says derech is reshut? Maybe wherever he's going, he has to say it. So, ledvar mitzvah, filu hachim arachwan adikre. Imkein limakra belechet, my belech decha. You're the way you go, but there, that's Shema Mina Belechet Didach. When you're going for your personal needs, in the Mechayiv, had the mitzvah, but the mitzvah patirta, your patur. I hachi ma'iri hakone set taptula. So if that's the case, even if he marries a widow, he shouldn't have to say Shema. Afilo kone set almana nami. So the Gemara is hachatari. No, when he gets married a virgin, it's much more. He's much more nervous about it. Hacha alotar, when he marries a second wedding, it's not the excitement, not the nervousness. Hachil imi shum tirda. So if you're going to tell me whether he has to say Shema depends on how much his mind is preoccupied in other things. So let's say he's lost a lot of money in the stock market. The stock market crashed. His boat sunk. Afilu tava svina toba yam. So if the boat is sinking, so he should also, how can he concentrate on Shema? He's worrying about his financial empire is crumbling, and you're going to tell him to say Shema. He can't think about Shema. So, Amma Marav Ava Barzavta Marav, Ave Aval Chaya B'chol HaMitzvot, a person who is a mourner has to do mitzvot, and clearly his mind is not on mitzvot. A mourner's got other things that he's worrying about than doing mitzvot. Nonetheless, you still have to do mitzvot. So, of course, someone whose boat is sinking, which is much less, of course has to do mitzvah, except for tefillin, because tefillin are beautiful. Sharei ne'emar behemper, there's a beauty, and when a person is in mourning, there's a lack of beauty. Shenemar perchacha boshalacha. Amriyatam tirda the reshut hacha tirda mitzvah. Depends what you're preoccupied with. If you're preoccupied with doing a mitzvah, then you don't have to say Shema. If you're preoccupied with your money, or you do. So it's very interesting, the distinction between your money and somebody else's money. When it comes to your money, you got to climb down the tree, you got to dumb with the minion, you got to come late to work, you got to do everything. It's you're the boss. You have no excuses. When you work for somebody, then it's more important your work ethic than you're done with the minion. That's actually quite interesting. The boss has a much higher obligation. And but when it comes to you know, things that are bothering you, who cares that your money's being lost? You have to say Shema anyways. Okay, now we'll continue on this idea a little bit. Chatan brachatz laila rishon shemet eshto. So we're continuing on Rabbi Gamliel. He got married and he said Shema. Now his wife died. One page. We went from the wedding. Now we're his rachatz laila rishana shemei teishto. He took a shower. Remember, Rabbi Gamliel is a nasi. Rabbi Gamliel is also a very wealthy man. Rabbi Gamliel comes from a very wealthy family. We know Hillel was extremely poor. We know certain Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was wealthy. Certain rabbis, like nowadays, there's certain rabbis that are very wealthy, and certain rabbis are not wealthy at all. Have to struggle to, like in any profession. So Rabbi Gamliel was very wealthy. He lived a royal life. So he took baths every day, which was not so common in the Mishnah. So Amar lo Talmidav. So a student said to him, it's also very interesting. But the students were not afraid to tell their Rebbe they're doing something wrong. They didn't think of, which is, if you see something, even if he's your teacher, you have to do it in a respectful way. But you can ask your Rebbe, why are you doing something that appears to be wrong? I don't understand what you're doing. So his student said to him, Limad Tana Rabbeinu, you taught us, She'avel Asur. Look, everybody knows that halacha, that a mourner can't wash. So I assume people today know that halacha is a mourner is allowed to, I mean, we're in the world that I come from, the poskim who I am with, they all say that a mourner can take a shower even in Shiva. It shouldn't be a hot shower. It should be, you know, quickly. But we're all Easternists. We're all fickle. I don't know what the word is. What's an Easternist? We can't tolerate going a week without a shower, which is what the law of Shiva is. So it's what Rav Gamliel says. Amar lam eini kashar bnei adam Easternist ani. I can't take it. I'm an East. I don't know how to translate the word Easternist. I don't know what the Arch Ross says, whatever. Okay. What does it say?
Delicate.
Okay. Ukishemeit Tevi. So we're assuming we're all Easternists today. Ukishemeit Tevi Abdo, the famous slave, his servant is a very wealthy man. So when his servant died, Kibala Laftanchumi, he sat Shiva. He's not Jewish, by the way. Tevi isn't Jewish. So he sat Shiva for him. Amrulo Talmidav. I'm sorry?
Is there a concept for
Gerim
today, let's say?
Yeah, so many, what people saved in the Holocaust, non-Jews, yeah, it's an interesting question, but conceptually, there's no Shiva for a non-Jew. There might be, here's obviously an exception. He felt extremely close, so the student says, what are you doing, Rabbi? You're not allowed to accept comfort from slaves. You don't know my slave. Tevi was no slave. He was kasher. He was a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara has stories about him. He was a fine, fine person. And you said Shiva for a fine, fine person, even if they aren't Jewish. And Chatan, then the Mishnah, Chatan, he wrote, Seli Kro Kriyat Shema Laila Rishon Korei. So the Mishnah says a groom doesn't have to say Shema, but he's allowed to say Shema. He's exempt from saying Shema, but he wants to say Shema, like Rabbi Gamliel. I can't go one day without saying Shema. So, Korei, Rabbi Shima Gamliel, his son, Omer, lo kol rotzeli tol d'shem, he told, no, not anybody who wants to say Shema is allowed to say Shema. It's forbidden to say Shema on the day you got married, according to the Mishnah we discussed. That also doesn't apply anymore today. Lots of things don't apply today. But okay, my tama the Rabban Gamliel. So how come Rabban Gamliel took a shower on the first night when his wife died? Interesting what the Gemara says. Apparently, istnis was enough. Discover aninut laila rishon derabbanan. It's only a rabbinic law. We assume all of mourning is only rabbinic. Maybe the first day is biblical. In other words, had the laws of mourning been, had there been a biblical appropriation, he didn't take a shower on Yom Kippur. He didn't say, I'm an Ishness and Yom Kippur, I'm going to take a shower. That's a biblical law. You can't take a shower. That's a debate too, but let's assume it's a biblical law. So here too, he says, Aninus, Avelus, that's only Rabbanan, Dichti Vachriataki Yomar. The day is the morning. If it's too hard, if it's too painful, you don't have to worry about it. Ukishemei Tevi Abdo, Tan Rabban. I guess we'll go till 10 after 6, 45 minutes or so, or whatever. Okay, Ukishemei Tevi Abdo. Tan Rabban, Avedim Ushvachon, Eino Dimalein Beshura, Eino Rimaleha Birchad Avelim, Tanchume Avelim. Okay, so slaves. Male slaves and female slaves. Enom de membershur. You know, when you go to a funeral, they make two lines and the mourners go through and you offer. You don't do that if it's a slave who died. We don't have this anymore. There was a bracha they used to say when they fed him the first meal. When he came back, the student have ra, You don't do that. Betanchume avelim, and you don't offer comfort. Masa v'meita shivchato Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara now tells a story. Rabbi Eliezer's maidservant died. Nichnesu tamidav l'nachmo. Here it's the opposite. Here the students did come to offer for comfort to him. Kevan shirotam alali aliyah. When he saw them coming, he went up to on the second floor. Valuach harav. So they followed him. They didn't know why he's going to the second floor. They want to offer him comfort, and he's running away. Ninchas la'an pilon. So he went to some room off the house. A little shack. Nichnesu acharav. They followed him. Nichnas l'trachlin. He went to another room. A bigger room, nichnesu acharav. They kept falling. He keeps running away. They keep falling him. So Amar lahem, the expression is beautiful. Kimedube ani, I thought shatem nichvim beporshim, that I can burn you with lukewarm water. Don't you get a hint? I just sort of walked away. That was the hint. Don't follow me. There's no mourning for a slave. I don't want you to come to offer comfort. Official comfort. So that was the lukewarm water by walking away. I thought I would teach you, but you guys are so, you know, are so dim-witted, right? Achshav iatem nechmim afilu b'chamei chamim. Even if I put the hottest hot, you don't get burned. You just keep going straight. Nothing phases you. It's like I put the water on hot, and you go jumping in. Lo kach shaniti. Didn't I teach you, students? Don't you remember anything you learned? You don't stand in the row for slaves. You don't say the bracha for mourning. So what do you say? It's not nice not to say anything. He's upset. But the laws of mourning are a unique Jewish idea, all the details of mourning. Maybe this isn't so, we wouldn't quite phrase it like this, but they say to a person, when he loses his money, his ox or his donkey, so when a person loses, God should, it's the same expression, God should give you what you're missing. It's very interesting. You see sort of this like tension, the relationship between a Jewish slave owner, basically. I mean, you want to call them a servant if you want to be nice, but basically say, what's the relationship? On the one hand, Rabban Gamliel is sitting shiva, the students are coming. On the other hand, we have to distinguish between the slave and the Jew. We can offer, yes, it's not nice, but you can't sit shiva for a slave, or maybe you can. That's the whole question. Tanya Idach. You don't give a hesped. Remember, a hesped isn't like today that the rabbi gives a speech. It means they make people cry. It was a big deal. Rav Yosef Amrim, Eved Kasher or Amrim Olav. No, if it is Rav Yosef, no. He's going back to the Rabban Gamliel approach. If your slave was a wonderful person, there are people like that, you know, the non-Jewish worker, or Amrim Olav, Havei Ish Tov. This was a wonderful person, Ne'aman. He's trustworthy. We learned that. He works for a living. That's greater than Yirat Shemayim. We learned last week. Somebody who works for a living, this is a great person. Amrulo, so they said to him, Imke mahanach l'kshem. This is what are you going to say about slaves? What are you going to say about a Jew who dies? You gave him all the praises in the world. In other words, the idea they should say something nicer for the Jew than for the slave. No. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, anchoring lavot ella lishlosha. There are only three avot, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What does this have to do with anything? I don't know. It's a good question, right? My tama, why not? Ilema mishum de lo yadinan. Even Reuven katini mishum katini. Because what happens if Reuven was one of the avot? We don't know what tribe we're from. We know we're from Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, but we don't know because there was only one. But once you get to Yaakov, I have no idea. Are you from Gad or Asher? It would be too complicated. Gemara says that's not a good reason. But we don't know if we come from Rachel, Imirachel, Kadin, Imilea, because we did divide into two. And we still consider Rachel and Leah to be Imahot, even though nobody really knows. You can be a descendant of Sarah, you mean a descendant of Rivka, but you cannot be a descendant of Rachel and Leah. It's either or. Right, because he's a Kohen. He's from Leah. We assume we're from Leah too. I don't know. Okay. Ela adhaka chashive. Where it doesn't say why. These were important. In other words, there was something special about the Avot. Tvei lo chashive. Now, if you look in the Chumash, God doesn't talk to Yosef ever. In other words, that's one distinction. In other words, God talks to Avraham Yitzchak, but he doesn't talk to Yosef. And Avot means God talks to you. I don't know. Whatever. The Gemara doesn't explain why. These were the important ones. Tanya Idach. This is here the connection, as Zev was saying. Avadim u'shvachot ein korim etam ava ploni. You don't refer to a slave as a father figure. Ve'ima ploni, or a mother figure. V'shel Rabban Gamliel, but Rabban Gamliel, slave they did. Korim etam ava ploni v'ploni. Maseli store, you want to contradict? No. If there's a wonderful slave, mishum lechashive, great slaves, you can call them mom and dad. It's an interesting question. They're part of the family. The slave can be part of the family. Amar Rav Elazar, let's just do one more piece. May dechtiv, kein avarechacha b'chaye b'shmecha, esakapi, kein, okay, I will bless you in your lifetime, in your name, I will lift up my hand to bless you. So, to bless you in your lifetime, zu kriyat shema. B'shmecha aseh kapei, I will lift up my hands, zu tfila. V'im oseh kein, and if you do this, alav ha-kaduv emer, kamo chela v'deshen tishba nafshi. You will get blessings of wealth and, fatness of the land. You'll be satiated. If you daven, you go to work, everything will work out well. V'lo ad ela shenochel shnei olamim. This is the beautiful idea. You inherit two worlds, which is a very Jewish concept. That we're not focused on the next world. We're focused on this world. We want to be successful in this world and in the next world. So yes, you want to daven, you want to learn Torah for the next world, but then you go to work. You want blessings. All the blessings of the Torah are this world. It's going to rain. You'll be all prosperous. Ha'olam hazeh v'olam haba shenemar b'sfatai renanot yalopi. Renananot, I guess from the plural, will sing, will be blessed by God. Okay, I guess we'll stop here, even though this next piece is actually quite beautiful and relatively easier. The next piece in Gemara, just to give for tomorrow night, is all the things that the rabbis used to say after Hamavarechet Amo Yisrael Bashalom. After they daven, many of which you will recognize. We say them sometimes every day, every month, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. A lot of each rabbi, Yehi Ratzon, may God grant us this, grant us peace, grant us all the beautiful things. So that's going to take up the next page. But hope, please God, we'll pick up tomorrow night. Okay. It is sometimes a little hard to do a daf in 45 minutes. We only did 42 minutes, but okay. All right.